News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the fascinating northeastern part of India, each episode brings new insights and captivating stories. Here is a sneak peek at what we have in store for you today. Today, we shall bring you an exclusive interview with the talented author Mridusmita Das from Assam. We also bring a report on the potential of the Northeast emerging as India's next saffron hub after Jammu and Kashmir. But first, let's hear from our Kohima correspondent Mary, who has a special report on the growing interest in millet farming in Nagaland. Millet farming has long been a fundamental part of agriculture, offering a sustainable and resilient food source. Rich in nutrients and drought-resistant, millets play a crucial role in ensuring food security. In Nagaland, communities are revitalizing the once-declining practice of cultivating this valuable crop.
As part of the National Food Security Mission 2024-25, over 100 farmers from Kesoma Village in Kohima District took part in a mass millet sowing demonstration. The event took place on a 2-hectare field where 3 different varieties of millet seeds were planted. The demonstration was aimed at reviving millet cultivation, a practice that has unfortunately seen a decline in the region in recent years.
Under National Food Security Mission, we are taking up this millet on priority basis. The problem arises for this cultivation is, one is milling of the millet, it's a very laborious job, and another one is the pest. So people have stopped cultivating millet for almost 8 decades. It was slowly dying, but under this scheme, we wanted to promote millet cultivation again. It is a very rich source of protein, and it's a very good source from a nutrition point of view. So cultivating this millet, it will generate good income for the farmers also. And then on the health side, people having like diabetes and other diseases, they can take this millet as a substitute to rice.
Millet cultivation has been gaining traction, particularly in villages like Kesoma, Chechama and Mima, with Kesoma leading the way in large-scale farming. Former village council chairman Zadeho Rika shared his thoughts on how the value of millet has evolved over time.
Millet cultivation has been an ancient practice, something our fathers, grandfathers and even their ancestors did. But over the last 15 years or so, it has been largely abandoned. Back in the day, millet was seen as a grain for the poor due to the short harvest time. Our parents would trade a kilogram of rice for twice as much millet. But today, with fewer millet seeds available and less millet being grown, its price is double that of rice. It has become the grain of the rich. So it's astonishing how things have flipped. I've always encouraged my villagers to grow millet, but caution them not to take advantage of the high market rates, but cultivate for their self-sustenance.
Kesoma is certainly embracing millet cultivation. The village celebrates the Cheni or Millet Festival every year on 20th of July and have allocated land in different kelts and groups to expand millet farming across the community. With this commitment, the hope is that the mission will inspire even more farmers to adopt millet cultivation in the coming years. For Northeast Diary, Mary, Akashvani News, Kohima.
And folks, now let's go to Meghalaya, where the foundation stone for Nectar's permanent campus has been laid in New Shillong Township. Union Minister Jitendra Singh highlighted the region's potential as India's next saffron hub. Here is a report on this significant development.
The BJP-led NDA government at the centre has set its sights on transforming the northeastern region into the next saffron hub of India. Union Minister of State for Science and Technology, Shri Jitendra Singh, made this remark following the recent laying of the foundation stone for the permanent campus of the Northeast Centre for Technology Application and Reach on Nectar at Umsauli in New Shillong Township. The Union Minister highlighted the Northeast's potential to become India's next saffron hub following the success of Jammu and Kashmir, which secured the Geographical Indication GI tag for its saffron last year. He also pointed to NECTA's efforts in promoting saffron cultivation through its Mission Saffron initiative launched in 2021, which aims to boost agricultural opportunities in the region.
And some of the success story, the Mission Saffron, that also was launched during this government, 2021, Modi government second term. And recently, only last year, we had the GI tag for the Jammu Kashmir saffron. And I'm glad to also note that Northeast may emerge as the next saffron hub of India after Jammu and Kashmir.
During his speech, Sri Jitendra Singh emphasized the pivotal role NECTA will play in realizing the vision of a self-reliant and developed Northeast. He encouraged the institute to build its unique identity by leveraging its human, academic and natural resources. He expressed his belief that the region's contributions would be crucial to the broader goal of achieving an Atmanirbhar Bharat and a Viksit Bharat.
So each time when you say nectar, you will also have to tell what it does nectar stand for. It's not that nectar amrit. But if you have put your footprint, then the common people, particularly the youth as students, would refer you with your name and they would remember the acronym more than the other. And I'm sure you have the capacity now that the foundation stone has been laid, a new campus will come up. You should also start planning right from inception that you would have a dedicated block for so-and-so and see what are your resources, both human resource, academic resource, and the natural resource to excel in that. So that if you excel in that, you will have a pan-India recognition.
The Union Minister also commended NECTA's efforts to support the region's startups, entrepreneurship and bamboo-based industries alongside initiatives like Mission Honey and Mission Bee. He called the establishment of the new permanent campus and the State Technology Demonstration Centre a landmark moment for the institute.
So this is an institution which is catering to entire Northeast and living up to that moment by way of imparting technologies for startups, for entrepreneurship, for bamboo, and also for diverse missions like Mission Honey, Mission Bee, and I'm glad that they are all focusing on saffron.
Founded in 2014 during the first year of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government, NECTA has steadily expanded its influence across all 8 northeastern states. The foundation-laying ceremony was attended by NECTA Director General Dr. Arun Kumar Sharma, along with key officials, representatives from both state and central organizations, and various stakeholders. The event underscores the center's ambition to promote equitable and inclusive socio-economic development across the Northeast, aligning with NECTA's mission to foster innovation and technological advancement in the region. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamphrang Nongspang, reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashvani Shillong.
Welcome to Personality of the Week, where we feature exclusive interviews with remarkable individuals making an impact in their fields. Today, we are thrilled to have Mridusmita Das, a multi-talented software engineer with a distinguished engineering background and a deep passion for writing. Mridusmita has gained recognition in the literary world with her debut novel, A Widow, Rebirth from Her Ashes. A gripping tale of self-discovery and resilience, her charming children's book series, Sparrows of Michigan, Adventures of Joey, Juju and Juby, has also garnered praise for her imaginative storytelling. In today's interview, we will delve into her latest book and how the pristine environment of Assam shaped her formative years. Let's join her now in conversation with Om Sase.
So here we have in our studio Mridusmita Das, an accomplished author, speaker and literary voice from the Northeast. And with her, we have her daughter, a young author, Advaita, who co-authored the book Riya and the Rooster. Mridu, we'd like to know your journey, how your career has been as a whole.
Thank you so much, Om, for having me in the studio. I'm very, very excited. I want to share my journey from childhood in a first forward way. So I started very, very young without even knowing what writing is. I wrote a poem and during one of my summer holidays. So it was an Assamese poem titled Pokhila. So it means butterfly. And I wrote my feelings there. But the amount of enthusiasm my parents and my relatives and my teachers showed, and they made me feel like a, you know, star. And after that, I never stopped. So it was mostly writing for magazines, writing short stories. That's the way I kept on writing. It was a hobby. It was my passion. And it continued until I went on to become an engineer. I wrote for my college magazine. I went on to become into the corporate. I wrote for my office magazine. So it continued bits and pieces here and there. But in 2021, personal loss happened. I lost my husband. And that's when I went back to writing, like as in therapy. So during my therapy lessons is when I started again with therapeutic way, you know, writing gave me comfort. Writing made me feel and look within myself. That was the journey which you see now. And I started with my debut book, A Widow, Rebirth from Her Ashes. It was my way of telling or showing light from darkness. So that started there. And now here I am with my 14th book. Both solo, I have written 5 books. And as in anthology also, I have contributed. So that way I have just finished our 14th book. That's the journey going on so far.
The driving force of you being an author, is it passionate or is it to meet a professional end at the contemporary?
It is a passion. Because writing is not only just the thing in my life. It is the soul of my soul. So sole purpose of my life journey, I have to say. Because when I saw only darkness, my pen and the paper were only the companion I could trust. I was standing all alone. Nobody to look around, you know. And I could just talk to my pen and the paper. So I could write my inner feelings, everything. I could share it on the paper. So that is the way I think I consider writing as. Writing is my soul purpose, my soul's purpose. That's what I have to say. And the other things that come is a byproduct of that. So I feel writing as a passion. So at the end of a very tiring day also, writing will pump me up with energy rather than draining me out of energy. I don't consider it as in work, but I consider it as something very close to my heart.
I got it from the line that you said that writing is your soul purpose and writing is your soul's purpose. That's the line I need to write in my notes.
Wow, that just came downloaded.
Yeah. Great. How your life has been growing up in the Northeast?
Wow, Northeast. I don't know whether you have visited home. And if not, please make it a part of your itinerary.
I'll write it in my bucket list.
It is a place one shouldn't miss. So it is my, I think, I should say a blessing that I was born in Assam and I was born into this family. I was the first child of the entire generation. So I was pampered a lot and the environment, as in my father was into veterinary. So he's a retired professor from veterinary college. I always got this surrounding where, you know, we are at the outskirts of the cities with a lot of nature surrounding us. And I don't know. The authors feel it really nice to be in nature. Means I can write if I am in nature. So I think these were subconsciously things which were put in my head right from the childhood. And the family I come from, my mother also, right? She's a very resilient kind of a woman, very jovial. So these are some qualities which I think helped me to come back when I was all lost. So I am blessed to be in this family. My brother, as every other sibling, he would take out the best in me by just criticizing me the most. So yeah, that's his
role.
That's
how brothers are.
I bet you have one sister or a brother, so you can resonate. My daughter, though, is very quiet, but she is a great critic and she will let me know what are my mistakes very silently, in a very hush-hush way that no other people can hear it, but I can correct myself. So that's, she is my support, obviously my rock. She stands by me and being such a young person in my life, she fills my life with a lot of positive energy. So this is what I want to share about my family. Not just you have to be there to know it because it pumps you up with a lot of, you know, positivity, freshness. You know, you have a lot of creative ideas. The nature itself, the mighty Brahmaputra, that has been an inspiration to many a writer. And the hilly areas that surrounds. And there are Kaziranga. There are a lot of sanctuaries, national park. The heritage is extraordinary. So it's a thing I can't express. But not just, you have to feel it to, you know.
Great. I believe like the experiences of your childhood are quite reflected in the world building and your thoughts in the stories that you tell.
So true. Because like I said, my debut was A Widow. That was a book which I dedicated to all someone who has lost a partner. Because society tends to give you many advices. But what you can take at that moment is up to you. Because you are going through a lot. And you need to give yourself the time and comfort. You cannot just be back, you know. You have to give yourself the time to heal. It is not possible that you continue life the way it was before. Because it's a void which is not going to be filled. So you have to accept that things have changed for you. You have to take a pause. So that is a must I have learned in my thing. Because people told me, you have taken a leave from office, like for 4 months you are not working, what else will you be thinking? Obviously you'll be depressed. But this is not obvious. This is the first time and maybe the last time it has happened in my life. I need to know what has happened in my life. I can't just be back to normal the next day. So it's a feeling one need to acknowledge. If somebody near your loved one or near ones, your close friends, anybody is going through this type of circumstances in life, please be there. Be there as a silent person, but be supportive. Do not try to impose your thoughts on them. That was what I went through. It was very, very heavy. It's a heavy book. After that, I wanted to write something, you know, I always wanted to write children's book. As in, I wanted to be a children's author. So I came back to my children's. So I started with Sparrows of Michigan. And that Sparrows of Michigan, Amazing Adventures of Joey, Juju and Juby. These three names only made me smile. And when I was creating these characters and when I was delving into my imaginary world, and I felt all the more happy. This was a story I used to tell my child when I was in Michigan. I used to tell her over the phone. She was here and she used to like it. And then I built the characters from there. I used to tell about one sparrow, but then I built the whole fantasy world from there. I came to the second part. So this is where I take my journey as a child, not letting my inner child die. And I bring back, because you need that very much in today's world to sustain in a rat race or to sustain with this corporate or sustain with the hustle bustle of daily life. You need all of this energies. You can't be, you know, every day the same thing. So this is how I think I try to bubble up my life with this positive energy. So this is how I try to bring in and rear the rooster. So if I want to say, just this December, we were in Assam for the Assam Book Fair. And I woke up by hearing a rooster's voice. So when I heard the rooster voice, I thought it is early morning, let me get up. And when I saw, then I saw that it is only 3 a.m. And then I started noticing the rooster keeps on cock-a-doodle-doo. So it is always the rooster is. I asked Advaita the next day, what's going on? Do you also hear such an alarm? It's an alarm or what is it? So she also heard. And this was a terror for us. So the Rhea and the rooster is dedicated to our experience there. So Advaita said, let's write a book. And she had written a poem already for that. So that's how I think the story shape up. And we need to be, I believe that if we are natural, this is the natural way of telling the story, and people connect with this kind of things because we're just sharing what we felt and it's so real.
The Rooster of Terror, a poem by Advaita Tiwari. There was a girl named Rhea. She was the topper in the whole area. The winter breaks came running, but Rhea kept on studying. But when she went to sleep, a rooster woke her from her dreams. She asked, what should I do to sleep? This poem is from the Rhea and the Rooster book.
First, I thought you were the author and she was the co-author. But now I believe that Advaita is the author of this book and you are the co-author.
Yeah, that's the way.
Great. We know that Northeast have a strong oral tradition of storytelling. Now, there are emerging new storytelling formats coming into play. And there are many people who are getting a platform through these. So do you believe that the strong oral storytelling tradition that existed in Northeast, this tradition will be preserved with the emergence of these technologies or platforms?
I think, Om, the addition of the technology into the storytelling is an added advantage. It's taken in a very right way. in North East, I could see, we always had the storytelling, the bedtime storytelling. It was always part of my growing years. I was always put to bed with a story. So this was part of my growing up years. I bet many of my friends also went to bed that way. And we have Buri Ayer Khadhu, a very famous author, Lakshminath Besbarua. He has written this story. So it's a collection of short stories. So I got it for my daughter, this Assam Book Fair. So nothing has changed. You know, the stories, actually, if we preserve it in writing form, it's going to go on generation. And the theaters that still there are Kohinoor Theater, there are many theaters which are still going on there. So the format might change, but the oral way of depicting it, or it's still there. So Insta is a very oral form, and why not? To reach people, we should be using all digital media available. So I think it's just reaching out more wider audience. So it's just working out for Assam. I could see the platform is also very well given to the Northeast, you know, the Assam Book Fair, or for that matter, there are many, many book fairs that happen during the whole year. And everybody, the Assam distributors and the authors association, they get together to, you know, spread the message. So it's a very, the cultural importance for literature. It's at the center. So the Assamese culture, the Northeast culture as in whole, values literature. It is always like, what is your child up to? What is that she is learning extra apart from academic? So it is always like a overall growth. Music, dance, these forms are always imbibed, you know. It is very integral part of the academics as well as everyone's household. So it is not dying anyway. And I feel very blessed that kids come rushing to me saying that they need another part of Sparrows. When I had this doubt, first book fair 2023, I was very doubtful who will read my Sparrows of Michigan. And the overwhelming response that they said they need it in Assamese. Why have I written it in English? I got it translated to Assamese. Misigonar ghansiri kajak. Kanmani joi juju aru jubir adbhut abhijan. So this is proof. I think it's not stopping, ending. It's not. Great, it's just growing. Yeah.
Like many people believe that Northeast has been always misunderstood. And it's been underrepresented in the national discourse of the country. What are your thoughts on this?
While I was growing up, I could see the difference though. Because I felt distance mattered. Connectivity was not that high. But now I don't see that gap anymore, you know. It's just a 2-hour flight, or it's just your mindset, or it's just an Insta, or it's just a call away. So I don't see that gap anymore. In the mainstream, in the CBSE board today, you have art integration, which is from the first standard itself. So class 1 students are doing art integration project on Assam, on Meghalaya, Arunachal. They are learning the dresses, the food they eat. They have this. So my daughter, now when she was in 1, we took her to Arunachal. That was just like a trip for the family. But she had this art project for herself. So they have this to know, notice as much a part as the other states. So now that has come into the main course syllabus itself. We have a lot of mention of Assamese bihu, the dress attire. So I don't think, whenever I wear a mekhala, everybody knows, oh, she is wearing a mekhala. So I think there's no difference. It's rather a very proud moment. Every Assamese I know till date never shies away from saying that I am from Assam. Every Northeast person, my friends, they wear their, you know, attire to a public function to showcase that they belong to that state. So that is always welcomed by the other people there. So I feel that acceptance, and they used to call names also before, which is a law, right? It's legally not to be called that way. So laws are also enforced to give equal importance. So this is how I think. We don't see a disparity anymore. And the lawmakers, the ministers, they are also taking adequate measures. And now our chief minister of Assam, Hemanta Biswa Sarma, he showcased Assam in a good light. Northeast is showcased at a world level. Recently, the Jhumur Nritya, it was showcased. Because if we don't show, people won't know. And they are interested to know. Everyone wants to know about the culture, about the rich values. Everybody, we are all curious people wanting to explore more. So yes, if ma'am. We don't showcase, then there's no point. And people are doing it. The ministers are doing it. So I like that. So I feel there's a bridge. And I don't see a gap anymore. Because when you teach a young child from the very starting that we are all same, that the chance of having a difference of opinion or difference doesn't, you know, arise. We can differ in our looks or we can differ in our food habits, but that would be acceptable if we start from a very young age. That's what I see in today's kids. They all, her friends, means it's all very normal. So I didn't see that when I was growing up. So there is a difference.
I guess it is because of the policy change as well as it is because of the literature and the media role that has been played, and that has actually bridged the gap between these regions.
Correct. Correct. Because the distance is also in the mind when the distance is physical. So when I had to take a train, the flights were not much more. Maybe we would reach Assam in a longer duration of time, right? Now when I catch a flight, I reach Assam in 2 hours. So many people go there. Like there is a lot of influx, right? People go and settle there and they love Assam for what it is. My non-Assamese friend, they just say, Mridu, you haven't been to that place? Because they are bikers. They can be to those places where I have not been. I said, oh, is it in Assam? So like that. So Northeast has a lot to offer if you are ready to accept. So that is already there. I can see that here. So I see a lot of Assamese people, a lot of Northeast folks, and I have a lot of friends. So I don't see that difference anymore. So I saw that only when I was growing up. Very young, I saw that. But not anymore. I don't think so.
Any projects that you are focused on right now?
When I was given this opportunity to write, I have written about very important people from the past, from the history. And I'll just mention, Devi is a project that just got released. It got released on Women's Day. So I have written about Lavlina Borgohain and about I Jayamoti. So I have tried to give the idea like how a young generation is trying to know their roots. So I have made my story in a way. I have told about a girl who is 16-year-old and she stayed her whole life in the US. She is Assamese, but she is rooted to Assam because of her parents. And she wants to figure out who is I Jayamoti. Now, Lavlina is someone who is a living legend. So, you know, the girls wants to be like her. And she has overcome so many struggles herself, going empty stomach and fighting for what she believed in. She always believed like she will get our Olympic medal. Always. And she got that true, you know. I have written about them. So whenever I get this platform, I write about Assam. I have written about, there's another book, Sita to Abhaya, Have Things Changed. So I have written about Mula Gabharu and Hoti Khadhoni. Mula Gabharu, she is like, even at that age, she was so empowered. That's what's stopping women of today, you know. Why do we think that we are underprivileged or something? She took control at that time. She bought in a revolution. Hoti Khadhoni herself, she was a fighter, a warrior. And maybe if we don't speak about them, today's kids might not know. But we have a resource, you know, the full house, powerhouse saved there in history and current world. So we need to be aware. So given a chance, I try to go back to Assam, write about Assam. In a magazine, I try to put forward, because if you focus on the positivity, more positive things would happen. If I try to creep and cry, more of the negative thoughts will be, you know, happening. So I think I am trying my best as a emerging author, and I'll continue with doing that, because I think every platform needs to be used. Every voice needs to be heard. There are still problems at grassroots. There are still problems where underprivileged, but women in Northeast, they were always treated with equivalent, you know, as men. We never had to fight for, like, when a child is born, it is never questioned, like, is it a girl or is it a boy? A girl is more welcome, actually. We always say a lucky man gets a girl as the first born. Or Meghalaya is a woman-centric state. So we always had that. So I want to showcase that, and people now know. So, yeah.
Folks, you just heard an inspiring conversation with author Mridu Smita Das. The interviewer was Om Sase. With that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week, same day, same time, to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.